Hey everybody, on this week's episode we have Imran Khan and Blessing Adeoye Jr. from Kinda Funny Games. They join us right from the top because Mike got stuck at a Chipotle. I don't know either. Alright, thanks for listening. Catch you guys on the show.
It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything in the world of video games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. With me is...
Blessing.
Blessing.
Blessing Adeoye Jr. How's it going, everybody?
And Imran Khan. Also, how's it going?
Yeah. I'm doing okay. It's bright and sunny here. It's shiny. There's no particulate matters in the air or anything like that.
Yeah, must be nice.
It's different, yeah. Yeah, it's a nice feeling.
I've legitimately forgotten what the sky is supposed to look like at this point.
We were dealing with it a little bit. We got like a small version of what you guys have been having for the past, I lost count. It seems like forever now. But those orange sky pictures were truly horrifying. That was truly scary stuff.
It was very confusing because I woke up, I want to say it was 2 days ago now. I woke up and was like, oh. Like my alarm's going, but the sun's not up. And like, then like, you know, as the day went on, I would walk in my living room and be like pitch dark, and I'd be like, oh, all right, yeah, we're just doing this. Yeah, and outside would look like a mixture between Mad Max Fury Road and pretty much any other post-apocalyptic piece of fiction that you can think of.
I thought about Mr. Burns blotting out the sun.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's it was again frightening stuff. We're gonna try not to talk about that stuff too much because I think if you've been listening to any sort of podcast from anyone in that area right now, I'm sure you hear a lot of it. So we'll try to avoid it. In today's episode, we've got news, we've got games. First, though, I want to thank you for joining us. You can get more from Mike. Usually, he's stuck at a Chipotle, so we didn't talk about that. Mike's stuck at a Chipotle, which I think you hear that and you're like, that makes sense. That sounds like Mike. You get more from me and him at gamespeed.com. If you have something to share with us, you can email the podcast at gamespluspodcast@venturebeat.com. Thank you to Carlos Ayn, Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube for the use of our theme song. And if you're listening to this on like the website player widget or on YouTube or Twitch, you can get the audio version of this show by subscribing on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, anywhere where pods are caught. All right. There's a lot that happened this week, so I think we should just hop right into the news if that's okay with y'all.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So the thing I have here, number one on my list, is Xbox Series X and S. This is the week it happened. Not by choice, it doesn't seem like. So I guess we'll start with the details. X and S are launching November 10th. The pre-orders go live on September 22nd. The X is $500. The S is $300. And there's some other stuff. But, how are you guys feeling about this? Imran, we could start with you.
I think it's a genuinely interesting and aggressive move in terms of like pricing and honestly like getting two SKUs out there saying, hey, there's not going to actually be that much of a difference. It's the first time, whether tacitly or otherwise, a company has admitted, yeah, the next gen is actually not that big a deal. They're diminishing returns here. And they're outright saying it with like this lower SKU that does not have as strong a GPU in several ways is not even as big as an Xbox One X, like in terms of graphical power, but they're saying it can run all the same games just at a different resolution. So to do that, I think almost kind of undermines Sony in a weird way of saying they're telling you next gen is going to be big. We're telling you the truth that all those games will be here and they'll be cheaper.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, it's something that I've known a long time just because I've been getting into PC gaming for the last few years. And it's, if you look, you know, when people ask what GPU they should get, I start with like, what's your monitor? And if your monitor's 1080p 60, you should be buying a graphics card from 4 years ago or the updated versions of those graphics cards. We've plateaued. We really have in terms of visuals. And this is Microsoft. You're right. Acknowledging that without being too, they're not being too like aggressive about it because they are also the company that was, hey, 4K really matters. And that's why you need an Xbox One X. And it would be weird of them to be like, no, resolution, stupid. Don't do that. So they're trying to walk a fine line. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. I don't know. Bless, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with Imran. This seems like a very strong, aggressive move for them. I really like what they're doing with the different SKUs they have here, because there's been a lot of speculation about what might the Lockhart slash Series S be. I know on our show, we had back and forth of, hey, is this going to be a streaming box? Is this just going to be a weaker Xbox Series X? What's it going to be? And for it to be a box that basically does all the same things that the Xbox Series X, but does have some caveats to it with the lower resolution and the missing disk drive. You know, like, those are small enough things that I think they can get away with, because when you look at the reality of people who are playing games, like, it's not like everybody has a 4K TV. I don't have a 4K TV, right? I'm on podcast every day. And so, like, that makes sense for them to go for that. I know it makes sense for them to not to have a version that is diskless, because of course we're moving more and more towards a future where most people are playing digital, if we're not already in that future already, because I know there's been reports from like Capcom and different companies about how most of their sales this year especially has been digital. So all that stuff makes sense. Them being Xbox being able to say, hey, we have the highest tier, which is going to be the strongest console that you can buy, and also we have the cheapest way for you to get in with the Xbox Series S and with game streaming with xCloud. I think that's super strong. The only thing that actually surprised me about this is that this last leak was the straw that broke the camel's back, because like we've been talking about this for what feels like forever. Like, this has been a conversation for the last year about how, yeah, the Series S is real, or the Lockhart is real, and we know it exists, and it seems to be just a weaker Xbox, like, or a weaker Series X. We've known pretty much all those details, and so for them to like come out now and be like, all right, we were gonna announce next week, but we're announcing now because of the leaks. I get it, because this last leak was bigger than all the previous ones, but still, like, you know, it's interesting that they finally broke in this way.
Yeah, we have a visitor, Mike. Okay, you want to go ahead and say hi to everybody?
Wow, look at this! I have an emergency, and I'm immediately replaced by two better looking people. I don't like it.
And you, even worse, I think you selected the wrong mic input in Zencaster. So go ahead and hit the wheel.
Fantastic! All right, yeah, I know how it works. I know how it works. How's it going?
Mike, I'm glad you're home safe, though. So, yeah, like we said, Mike got stuck at a Chipotle, and he didn't come home. I mean, well, I don't know. It's a very funny sentence, Mike. I'm sorry.
It is a funny sentence.
Was it a drive-through, or were you in the actual Chipotle building?
I went in, like, I braved it with my mask in the Chipotle line. Like, and, yeah, I was in for, like, 10 minutes. I came out, and that was that.
Because I was very recently almost in your predicament, where a couple days ago, you know, I was going to be on a show, I was about to be on a show, I should say. I had like 20 minutes to go get lunch, and I was like, all right, I'm going to drive to Jollibee because I'm hungry and I'm craving a chicken sandwich. And I got there, and the drive-thru line was longer than I'd ever seen it before. And I was like, all right, I could stay in this drive-thru line and be an hour late for this podcast, or I can brave it and go inside the building and actually order my Jollibee. And like, I made it at the perfect time, you know, back to my seat, back to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so it all worked out, but I know what that feels like.
Yeah, it was fun. Jeff, I don't know if I sound any better.
Probably not. Are you here? Do you have the microphone set to the right thing? You know what? Why don't you deal with that?
It's definitely this browser's fault. I got to get to a different browser. Right, one second. No worries. I'm going to leave here.
Mike, you sound beautiful to me. You always sound beautiful to me. Mike, Imran, Blessing, have you guys all met Mike Minotti?
I met Imran.
Oh, yeah, we know the name, but I don't think we met.
I work with
everyone
Mike.
Everyone knows the name.
So yeah, go ahead and say hi to him, Mike. Say hello, Blessing, and that's how greetings work.
Hi, Blessing.
Hi, Mike.
Your name's much better than Mike.
I was actually saying this recently. I really like the name Michael. I think Michael is like a good classic. Like, anybody could be named Michael and they could be a cool person.
You know? It's really better than Jeff.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yes, I agree. Jeff is a
self-deprecation with just straight up targeted deprecation.
Like, Michael is probably my favorite basic name, you know?
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
Michael and I guess Jordan might be up there, but that might be because Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but that's a last name. See, I don't. But I guess Michael could be a last name. Yeah, there are. I think because of Michael Jordan, I associate it with last name more.
That's fair. That's
Mike, fair. Do you have any thoughts about the Xbox Series X and S leak and then announcements and all that stuff? How are you feeling about it?
I mean, fine. I think it is smart, just because, for more than anything else, people could say, look, I can get a next gen system for $300. And I think for a lot of people, that is going to make a lot of sense. Like, I have friends who, like, it's such, like, it's almost a stereotype that you don't, like, actually believe. But, like, there are those, like, those Call of Duty Madden players, right? And it's really hard to say, like, those people need to spend $500 on a new system unless they really care about, like, you know, the display, like, their 4K. And I think a lot of those people, a lot of times they don't. So I get that. I would be skeptical personally just because, and I made this point before, like, you know, the last generation, the you know, just the base versions of these consoles didn't last like 3 years before needing an upgrade for a lot of people. So I'd be skeptical of kind of like starting like behind the pack, if that makes any sense. But again, I have different priorities.
I wonder, I think, John Linneman brought this up to me on Twitter from Digital Foundry. His skepticism is, does that audience really care about having physical media? And I'm split on this. I think there are some people who trade in Call of Duty every year who do really want to make sure they have physical media. But I think there's a lot. They're like, oh, wait, if I get this and if I just pay $25 a month, I get EA Play, which has like, you know, this Madden game in it already and stuff like that. I think there's an audience out there for that. Or am I just making up a person? I don't know.
I think if Microsoft can like force those people onto Game Pass, which is, I think, honestly, the point of not having a disc drive in there, like obviously size and cost concerns and all that part of it, but they want people to just be on Game Pass. And I think the logic of, you know, removing any barrier to it, and they should actually probably just have a discounted Game Pass or Game Pass out of the box with this thing for 3 months and get people really used to it. Because then their ideal is that fans of Call of Duty start clamoring for Call of Duty on Game Pass, and Activision has to respond in some way. And I don't think that's going to happen in the next couple of years, but the second it does happen, Microsoft has a built-in, like, not necessarily lead, but big built-in advantage in their console that no one else is going to have.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think they kind of already have that, too, because if you're a, and I don't know if these exist, but if you're like a blank slate gamer, right, you're coming through and you're like, I just want a next gen console. I don't care what it is. I just want to play my games at a good price. You know, like having especially with the payment offer they're doing, right, with like the $30 per month or whatever it is, or the $25 per month for the Series S, that comes with Game Pass, which means that, yeah, if I just want to play next gen Madden right now, I can pay $25 and be set up to go with the EA games on Game Pass on a next gen console, which I think that's huge, and I think that is a big advantage.
Yeah, I agree. I are any of you guys considering the payment plan? I'm sort of thinking about it, maybe, depending on whether or not I'm able to get a system for review, which is, you know, a very unique position that we're in. But if I don't, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll spend the money, get a PS5, and then I'll do the $35 a month thing. The one thing there is I can't imagine me wanting to cancel Game Pass here and there when I need to like save some money, and not having that option is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I personally am not, just because like I'm a person who buys my cell phones outright. So like I just like to have the thing and then worry about the other costs as they come. So this one personally not that great for me, but I know a ton of people who like the cell phone idea, or just generally they don't like the idea of paying $300, the cheaper $300 for a console just out of the gate and walk out of Best Buy with one. They would like a thing that gives them some flexibility. So I could totally see this being a thing that if they really push it in the right way and they really advertise it, then great. But that's – whenever you do something new like that, it's going to be hard to take that first step. Like I used to work cell phones at Best Buy, and explaining to people how it worked because it didn't always work that way was difficult because most of them just didn't understand it.
Yeah, I think at first blush, it just seems like this has got to be kind of a scam. And it turns out, I think if you do the math and you are someone who thinks that they would be paying full price for Game Pass for two straight years, Game Pass Ultimate, it's like a little bit cheaper than doing all of that, you know, outright.
That's $60 cheaper, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's somewhat enticing. But still, I think you're right. If, you know, $500 upfront, it's probably worth it just to go that route. What do you guys think about the somewhat solidifying release schedule with like Assassin's Creed Valhalla moving up to November 10th? I think there were some other games that moved around. I can't remember them all, but it seems like, oh, at least Microsoft's like trying to work with its partners to get some games there, even if it's not first party stuff.
I think they've got to, like, there's no Halo. They've got to do something. Like with Halo, this thing would have been a knockout for this holiday. Like the Xbox One S would have been like this huge thing of, hey, you can play Halo Infinite like this, and then you'll also be subscribed to xCloud. You can play it on your Android tablet or presumably at one point your browsers or whatever. That would have been a huge thing, but without that, like, I keep coming back to it because I'm pretty sure it's the only, like, exclusive launch game and by next-gen exclusive launch game on the Xbox, but the medium is their big thing. So they've got to really push Assassin's Creed and Cyberpunk and things like that.
Go ahead.
I think it's like it's even partly more beneficial for the publishers, if anything. Like you look at Ubisoft, so much of their lineup is next gen November going into the spring. When you look at Valhalla, when you look at, I know Watch Dogs is coming out in October, but that's going to end up being or having a next gen version. You look at Gods and, or not Gods and Monsters, Immortals Fenyx Rising, which is the name I can never remember. I'm just gonna keep calling Gods and Monsters because that's what it is. And then you look at games like Far Cry 6 and Riders Republic, and like Ubisoft is going hard over the next 6 months. And part of that is, you know, them coming to next gen early means that they're gonna have that exposure, right? For people who go into the next gen consoles, want to buy the next gen consoles to play next gen games, and then see those games available and go, hey, yeah, like there's not much new to play on my PS5 or Xbox Series X. Oh wait, okay, no, here's Immortals Fenyx Rising, or here's Watch Dogs, right? Like there's that added benefit too. It feels like both those parties kind of aligning up to be like, hey, yeah, let's build this synergy, and let's you know, sell some software and sell some hardware at the same time.
I mean, historically, Ubisoft has had a cottage industry around launch games. Like, I think this past generation with the PS4 and Xbox One, Yves Guillemot was out there proudly saying, yeah, we pushed them to make new consoles because we were sick of this long generation. They have an entire business plan around launching new IPs at the beginning of generation, or like revivals of old IPs or whatever, and then trying to ride those out for the next 5 or 6 years.
So hey, it worked for Red Steel. Why wouldn't it work here?
It did not work for Red Steel at all. I think Skull and Bones.
They did make Red Steel 2, so it had to work a little bit. But yes, I think you're right. Overall, it didn't quite work the same way.
But I mean, like Assassin's Creed, even though it's a couple of years after launch, that's kind of what I mean. Or
associated with it. I associated with the launch of those consoles.
Like they make games that define a generation for them. And I think if they said, Microsoft's like, hey, we're launching November 12th or November 10th, Ubisoft probably said like, okay, then we're moving our games a week up because that's what we need to be there. We need to be the game people bring home.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it has seriously worked for them repeatedly. I mean, I think when I think back to the launch of the DS, didn't they have like that Feel the Magic game? Was that them?
That was
okay, now they had something at the launch of the DS, and then the Red Steel actually did get a sequel, and I think Rabbids kind of launched along.
I mean,
that same
the Wii U
time.
Had Watch Dogs, right?
Yeah,
and like Assassin's Creed 3.
Absolutely.
This gen had Watch Dogs supposed to be a launch title, but I think AC4 actually made it day one.
I like it when like WB try to do the same thing. They're like, well, you know, we're kind of like Ubisoft. Let's put our Batman game out on the Wii U when it launches, and that did not work out very well for them. They regretted that decision. I guess the obvious question here, it's hard to like talk about one without talking about the other, is what's Sony going to do? Did you guys think there was any possibility of Sony reacting this week, or did you always expect them to kind of let Microsoft do their thing and then come back when they're ready?
I think they were ready to react this week if they felt like there was a need to.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bad timing of this, like, I think it would have been today, honestly, if today weren't 9/11, like, and also just a Friday, like. Mm-hmm. They probably want to get their stuff where it's going to be the news for the rest of the week. Because, I mean, Sony's in the lead. They can do that. They can afford to wait because they know it's going to be the biggest story in the world when they do. The thing I was thinking about the other day is Microsoft managed to fuck up the entire summer in terms of events, what they were talking about, the non-events, and yet this last week has been amazing for them. They have recaptured the entire conversation. So it doesn't matter, honestly, so much if Sony takes a week to not say anything. When they do announce it, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I expect to see it on Tuesday. Like, that's my prediction, is that like we get some sort of announcement on Tuesday. Because I think with the Series S and Series X announcement and those consoles being $500 and $300, I don't think there's any way possible that Sony comes out and announces something that is $300 or even like maybe even $400. Like $400, I think is the best they can probably do, and I don't think they'll do that. And I think that that's kind of bad news for them. Not bad news as in like that's going to affect how the PS5 is received or the PS5 does, but you know, that is going to be a comparison point for whenever they announce the PS5 disc version and the discless version, right? If it's 500 450 or 600 500 or however that stuff shakes out. I don't think it's the best news to come out right after the Series X and S announcement and be like, yeah, and we're more expensive. Like I think that's right. Something you hold off until the week after. And like Imran said, you know, if you come out, let's say early next week, you then have the rest of the week to ride that wave and maybe have all the other you know, press points that you want to roll out as that information is coming out. If you want to follow up on Ratchet and Clank or follow up on Miles Morales or whatever the news is, I think Tuesday kind of lines up, or maybe even Monday. I say Tuesday because we record PS Love You on Monday, and so I always just assume that these companies are trying to screw us.
And people don't like to do those things on Mondays either, because you want to go in and like Mondays you're get ready for battle day, right? And then you end up doing it on Tuesday. And I think that's kind of why rarely we see these things on Mondays, and then you never see them on the weekend for the same reason. People don't want to work.
Exactly.
So, Mike, do you have any thoughts about the PlayStation, what it's going to do?
No, I agree. Monday or Tuesday.
Ooh, your mic sounds better.
Does it? Because I don't know. I'm trying here. I don't know if it's great. Actually using the main one now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think you're just lying to me because you want me to stop futzing with things.
No, you're no, you really do sound better. Yeah, I think you fixed it. So, but no, seriously, what do you think Sony's going to do?
I think, I don't know. I was thinking Monday until you brought up that point that, yeah, like you know, sometimes news doesn't really happen on a Monday necessarily. It's gotta be next week, right? Like, I know we've been saying that before, but the only reason they had to wait was for Microsoft, right? Because they didn't want to go first. Well, now you're not first anymore. So,
and they have this perfect window, right? With like between the announcement and between the pre-orders going live. Like, would you really wait for after Microsoft's pre-orders when you don't have to? I don't think.
Right. I know why they didn't go on Thursday, because Ubisoft was doing a thing already and you don't want to annoy them. And I know why you're not, you know, doing it today, obviously. But yeah, after that, like, it's gotta be soon.
What is Sony's argument at this point, though? Because, like, PS4 was, they avoided the DRM and they avoided the higher price because it wasn't packaged with Kinect. But is it going to be, like, here's our games? And if so, if that's the argument, then are they going to need a little bit longer to actually secure that launch lineup up and make sure everything is going to launch that day? Because if you say Spider-Man and Ratchet or whatever, Demon's Souls, is coming day one, and then next month you say, actually, they're not going to make it because COVID and all that, those other reasons. That's a bad look.
They haven't said anything for launch day yet, which is interesting. And I only expect Miles Morales, really. I think Ratchet is like early next year. I don't know about Demon's Souls. But even then, just the idea, like, I think it's okay for those things to be launch window. And I think that still is something for them to talk about. I think they can still say, yeah, we are the company with the really good first party games. And that's what we're doing that Microsoft isn't. And, you know, even if these things aren't day one, it's still going to be happening sooner than Microsoft stuff by a long shot. Mm. I think that's still a pretty big differentiator.
Yeah, I think the promise of games is pretty powerful on the PlayStation side, because, like, even if they come out on launch day and just have Miles Morales, I think, like, folks who are upgrading from the PS4 to PS5, if you're already in the PlayStation ecosystem, like, you do know that you have Ratchet to look forward to, you have Horizon to look forward to. Honestly, I'm like partly surprised that they didn't even come out and announce God of War, or like, you know,
Elder Scrolls 6 God of War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, just like show a picture of Kratos with like a bigger beard and be like, look at this.
Like, honestly, like, I'm kind of glad they didn't, because that I kind of hate when stuff gets announced like that, like, way too early. And now I'm waiting for 5 years for a thing to come out. But
they do
at
that
at the same time.
Like that.
That's what they did last generation. On that a little bit, right? They've calmed down.
Well, they've calmed down on that because like nothing's been like announced since then. But like, what was E3 2015?
The Final Fantasy 7 Shenmue 3 E3.
Yeah, the E3 of dreams and everything. E3. Like, I think the last announced game from Sony was Ghost of Tsushima before like this E3, or not E3, the PlayStation reveal event were those games. Mm-hmm. So depending on when that reveal event's like schedule is, like, I had heard it was like the next year and a half. But who knows, really, because all these things are variable and they could change, and they could sneak in like the Nintendo style, like, here's the thing we're announcing way too early kind of thing.
But honestly, yeah. I'm surprised they've not, because I think that would kind of play into their favor of, yeah, like our big selling point for Sony PlayStation is our games and our catalog, and like look, you got God of War coming soon, you got Spider-Man 2 along with Miles Morales, and like really like showing their hand. Like I think that they could have done that, and I personally would have been annoyed, but them being like, oh no, here's just our next year. And it's still exciting. You know, I think that's pretty strong.
Once they announce Knack 3, then they'll really be in a strong position. God.
Yeah,
that's what everyone's waiting for. Quick about this, like if they have stopped doing that, like announce a game 3-4 years before it's coming out thing, why? It worked so well. I actually don't know what the negative there was. I guess you're always dealing with questions and maybe things change and people get upset, but no one really got that upset with any of the games that were announced and took years to come out. And people only talk about that E3 positively as like, this is how you do an E3 presentation.
I feel like I see quite a few people like come out and be like, oh, see, Sony always announces their stuff and that stuff doesn't come out for years and years. Like, I've seen that. And usually it's in the context of people having arguments that don't really matter. Like internet
comments. That's the name of this show. Basically, arguments that don't matter.
Yeah, that's true. But like, yeah, I don't know. I personally, I know people can go either which way, because there are some industries, like I guess the movie industry, that is very transparent as far as like, hey, we've greenlighted this film, you know, and you can expect this to come out at the very beginning of development,
or give an exact date 4 years ahead of time.
Right. Yeah,
you find out like, when they option a book.
Yeah,
like that's how.
Yeah, like how long we know about the Uncharted movie. But like on the flip side, I'm more of a fan of the Fallout 4 situation that we got with Bethesda, where in 2015. At that E3, they're like, hey, like Fallout 4 is real. Here's the whole gameplay breakdown. All right, see you in fall. Like, I really like that, because I feel like
that's nuts that that was them, because they are now like the poster child of the opposite of that with Elder Scrolls 6.
And that's why that E3, I was like, I'm like, no, but the Elder Scrolls 6 can't be coming out that far. They know they need to like kind of keep up that Fallout 4 momentum. That worked out well for them. And I was very wrong. That was incorrect.
Not for the last time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually went through at one point, because I'm a weirdo, and I tried to see if there was any correlation between like those long time announcements and the game sales. And usually, no. There's like every game that everyone complains about, like, oh, they spent so long talking about this, has sold fine. Like, maybe Bayonetta 3 is going to be different, because Bayonetta 3 is just not going to sell that much to begin with. But like FF7 and all of those other games that took forever still sold, like broke sales records. Last of Us 2 broke sales records.
I imagine Last Guardian probably didn't sell super well.
That's such a weird case.
Yeah. But
that's a good example, because that game was a masterpiece.
I've never played it and I feel bad about it. I love it. Like a game that like I felt like no one was excited about, so I couldn't get excited about it. And that's a stupid human brain thing to do, but that's where I was.
It's so good. It's definitely a game that should have came out for the PS3, because like some of the mechanics feel dated, but oh man, it's still special to me, damn it. Like, it's so good.
I can pinpoint the part of that game where you can tell that was just like, PS3 is not going to be able to do this. Because there's a part early on in the game where Trico just lands in some water and it like goes everywhere in the room. And you could just hear PS3's melting when they were going to try that.
So I just want to talk about that, because it's like, that's kind of what you're buying if you're a person that's buying a console on day one, right? Like, you're buying the promises and you want those things. Like, that's,
oh yeah,
that's what people point to when they say like, well, the Xbox has no like first party games at launch. It's like, and there's things way down the line. But when they look at PlayStation, sure, the stuff's coming in the first year, but they also know like God of War is coming. They know all this other stuff is coming. So that's really one of the reasons you want to be there on day one, because you believe that they're going to deliver on that stuff.
And that's what Microsoft's trying to fix. Because, like, you know, we know that a Gears is coming. We know that Obsidian is going to be making some big
initiative. Yeah, they're trying to establish that now, right? Yeah.
Right, but it's harder because, yeah, they're starting, whereas Sony is mid-sprint.
Well, if I might throw out another example that is, like, a little related, but Nintendo is also, they've sold more Switches this year than they usually do. On the basis of like no upcoming software. And this is not to say there's not going to be no upcoming software. Of course there will be, because we know we're going to get a new Mario eventually, or like obviously New Zelda's been announced, but like we know the Nintendo staples that they will eventually hit. But they are actively in, like, speaking of short like time to like announcement to release, they're on a 2-month schedule these days. So I think like
less than that for Mario. That was weeks.
Weeks for Mario.
The 35th anniversary,
like,
30th.
Hyrule Warriors is was it? 2 months. Paper Mario was 2 months. Like they are, they clearly are gunning for a thing of people just know software is coming, so we really don't need to give them that much warning. And I think maybe Microsoft is kind of thinking the same thing.
Let's talk about Nintendo. Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity was announced. It is a Musou game. If you don't know what that means, it's like the Dynasty Warrior game.
You text me like, "Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. The new Zelda game's a Musou." I'm like, "What the hell is
a Musou?" It's a Dynasty Warrior game, basically. It takes place 100 years before Breath of the Wild. It's going to be a prequel. It seems like it's very intent on like actually telling that story, not just sort of taking place in that time, but actually filling in those gaps. And I mean, I'm going to play it. I'm not a Musou guy, but I'll play it.
Yeah, I played through all the first one and liked it fine. You know, again, these aren't my kind of games. Like, it wasn't a very memorable experience to me. But my takeaway was, like people on Twitter, I was like, man, way more people, like, actually really liked Hyrule Warriors than I thought, because this generated more excitement than I thought I would have. But you also had that, like, this is, like, we were talking last week, like, you know, what could Nintendo's thing, you know, holiday game be? And this wasn't on our radars. And man, does it make sense now that I see it? Like, yeah. I should have seen it coming. Like, oh, yeah, this is really smart. Like, this is a way that you can make, you know, a quote unquote big game. It's a Zelda game. And obviously, it's not going to do as well as Breath of the Wild, but it's still a Zelda game. Yeah,
it's probably going to sell really well, though. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's going to sell really well.
Be best selling game, for sure.
This broke my heart.
Yeah.
When I saw the announcement tweet and they were like, oh, there's a new Breath of the Wild, or like, I forget exactly how they phrased, but it was essentially like Breath of the Wild taking place 100 years beforehand. And legit, I was reading that, I was like salivating at the mouth. And then they went into like, from the folks who were behind Hyrule Warriors, like fast paced action, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, damn, I was not expecting this at all. This totally blindsided me.
So
I'm glad that this one is actually like I don't want to say real game, but you know, Hyrule Warriors 1 was almost kind of like a crossover nonsense thing, right? Like it didn't make a whole ton of sense, and by the end of it was like, you know, here's Wind Waker Link as DLC character. Like this one being really grounded in some kind of Zelda continuity, I don't know why I care about that, but I'm like, oh, this is a more legitimate game than the last one.
Well, that's exactly what they want you to think. They want you to buy it because you bought Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. And it's going to work.
Yeah. Like, I loved Hyrule Warriors. Like, I played that game this afternoon. Like, literally, when you DM'd me for being on here, I was playing Hyrule Warriors. Like, I think that game is a ridiculous amount of content, and it's really fun. But I'm also a Musou guy. So I understand, like, my standards are a little weird on this sort of thing. But I saw this announcement. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I'm in. I'm completely in. Because Breath of the Wild is one of the best games of all time. This is not going to be Breath of the Wild's prequel, like, in terms of gameplay. But it's going to be, like, that story, those characters, I want to play as Urbosa and dodge things. This sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, and it looks great. It looks fantastic. I think that's why I'm excited about it. It looks like Breath of the Wild. And when I went back and looked at the Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, it was like, okay, this looks still like it is the Dynasty Warriors engine struggling to like render things in a really detailed way. And this game just looks like, oh, what if Breath of the Wild was actually a Dynasty Warriors game? And I'm like, oh, okay, that there's something to that.
This looks like Nintendo got behind it this time.
Yeah.
Like that last time I was like, okay, yeah, let's do a Musou Zelda spinoff and see how that goes. This time it looks like they did something they don't usually do, and they opened the asset bank up to a third-party developer.
Right. And I think you're right. That's people are going to go crazy for this best-selling Dynasty Warriors game easily. I think on a show earlier this week, Imran, I think you mentioned like it could sell 7 to 8 million copies. I think that's right. That sounds right on point to me. And that's huge for a game like this. You know, it does fill in that gap. It helps propel Nintendo even further on an already great year. So it's kind of an all win for them. I just, you know,
you guys think it's weird that, you know, we were talking about this, how Nintendo's announcing games now, that they didn't just 2 months ago or a month ago even make a Nintendo Direct that said, you know, here's all that Mario stuff, here's Pikmin 3 Deluxe, and here's Hyrule Warriors 2. Like, that would have been a good Nintendo Direct, right? Mm-hmm. And they had the content for it, and they just... It was weird that the people who made this kind of Direct presentation popular went out of their way not to do one.
I'm starting to come around to a conspiracy theory, or not a conspiracy, I guess, but like a theory that maybe Furukawa just doesn't like directs. Because there was a thing he said at the last investor Q&A. It was like, we want to redefine what direct means, something like that. And I kind of wonder if he is so burned by the stock drop last E3 of the Animal Crossing delay that now he's just like, we don't want to announce things too far. We're just going to put them out 2 months beforehand, say, this is when we know this game is coming out. It'll come out that day for sure. That's all we're going to really focus on. And
that's the smartest explanation I've heard so far.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right.
It doesn't seem like it's hurting them. Paper Mario sold extremely well. And honestly, Animal Crossing has been the biggest thing literally since sliced bread at this point.
Right. Yeah,
and I get excited about these things still. It's just like we don't have that that one day of anticipation and all the
torrent of it.
Yeah, and all the like the coverage of like, oh, what can be in here? Here's our guesses, here's you know, our prediction episode or whatever. And sure, it's like I miss that stuff, but they're still delivering exciting stuff when they make these announcements. And again, we're talking about commercials for products at the end of the day. So it's like,
sure,
how much we don't pay for these things, that we pay for the games. So whatever gets us to buy them, that's what they're going
to
do.
They've canceled directs, to be clear. Like, they have had directs planned that they've have canceled.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, this is a clearly, it's an effort, not that like, oh, we don't have enough stuff. It's we have enough stuff, but what if we put it out in a different way? And I think a lot of companies we're going to see next year, or maybe the year after, and like, maybe it's a new norm that they have COVID marketing strategies that they're going to maybe start employing into their, like, we're not going to just snap back to the way it was. Some of this stuff is just going to stick forever. And honestly, I think it's Nintendo's probably one of those. It's like that.
All right. Ubisoft Forward. You know what? Let's just talk about it real quick here. I put up a video, Bless, I think you had a video too, of Immortals Fenyx Rising. And I know that because I wrote down the name and I wasn't going to remember it otherwise. Let's just talk about it now. Cause I don't think we're gonna have time to like go deep into games. What do you think about this? I had fun with it.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Like, it's very blatantly Breath of the Wild. I was shocked by
shamelessly.
I was shocked by how much Breath of the Wild is in there.
That one gif of like the character like raising the thing with the magnet. I was like, oh, yes. That's just so blatant.
When I first did that in the demo, it was also like when I was in a shrine, basically, like going through one of the vaults.
Same.
And that's when they first teach you it. Like, oh yeah, you can grab a thing from afar with a thing that kind of looks exactly like the magnet from Breath of the Wild, and then you can place it on the Switch, and then that'll open up a door. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? Can I talk on the show, by the way? I forget. I didn't ask.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally, you're fine. Good. Yeah.
Okay. I almost admire the audacity of it. It's, yeah, I think we all knew, even when we first saw, like, oh, this is like them making a Breath of the Wild clone. We didn't think it was literally going to have like magnet hands.
Yeah.
And it's so much too, right? Like, when I was, like, I was 2 hours into it. The gliding, like, right away, it was like obvious. But like, I walked up on some horses and I'm like, is this going to be just like, and I'm like, I'll just do it just like in Zelda. And I sneak up on them and you just tame them real quick. And then all of a sudden you got a horse in your stable. It's like,
to be clear, I don't care. Really. Yeah, no, it's, sure. Yeah. So, make one of those.
It's just,
but I'm going to fun of them for it.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to tease them.
It's crazy to me because, like, I remember talking to Ubisoft people last year at E3 and being like, and they were saying they were worried because they thought people were going to think just based off the reveal trailer, this is going to be a ripoff of Breath of the Wild. It's like, no, it'll be fine. Like, it's a good art style, but it's an actual ripoff of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, no, people aren't going to think about that. People are not going to think that based off the reveal trailer. They're going to think that based off playing the game and realizing that this is Breath of the Wild, which, like, again, isn't necessarily a bad thing because from what I played of it, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the puzzles that they had there. There was a cool, I want to call it a shrine so bad, but a cool quote unquote vault in there where it's pinball themed and you're basically doing puzzles based off of these giant pinball machines that are like basically these
cool
magical versions of them. Really cool. It feels like Ubisoft's Greek take on Breath of the Wild. You know,
it feels like Kid Icarus Breath of the Wild. It really does.
I've been meaning to invoke that because I forgot. Yeah, Kid Icarus is very much what it feels like.
And it's
also funny.
Yeah, so it does have humor. Attitude, sassitude. Yeah,
oh, no.
It's like Prometheus. I think Zeus is like the one that's kind of like, oh,
Zeus.
Yeah, and Zeus is like, oh, I don't have to sit through this. I'm gonna make jokes when you fall off a cliff. Ha ha ha. And they like referenced that it was a demo too, so it's like they have the voice actors like on retainer or something, ready to go. It was weird. It was a lot. It wasn't strictly bad, but it feels like it could get old if it starts drifting off towards bad at any moment.
Everyone should watch Jeff's gameplay video just to hear him mispronounce some of these words. Like, you're trying to say Hephaestus.
Yeah, Hephaestus. Yes, that was bad.
I know that. It's a soul blade.
Did you?
I like read it out of the corner. Yeah, go ahead.
I know that because of State College.
Did you get the impression that like it's gonna be structured like Breath of the Wild, where you can go and finish the game at any point? Because there is, if you open the map, there is a thing that looks like Ganon's castle, but at the same time, it seems like there's a quest system that progresses as we finish the quests that's more structured than what we got in Breath of the Wild.
At this point, if you ask me any question, and the question is, do you think it's going to be like Breath of the Wild? My answer is going to be yes.
So, but this is like the good point to like bring up, like where it does diverge. This is still a Ubisoft game, and I think that they believe that they know better than anyone how to just spoon feed us open world games, and that involves you got to have the character progression. So this character has a bunch of unlocks where you can improve your skill trees. She has a bunch of skill trees that you can improve over time, which I don't think we got to actually mess with. I think we were locked in our character build.
It seems like they brought us up to a level in the skill tree and then just locked it there.
Right. So there's that, and which is not a part of Zelda. And then I think that the progression is probably going to work with gated missions and stuff like that. You will, I think you'll be able to go anywhere, but I think there's going to be locked elements. And I think the final boss, I would imagine, based on this, probably is locked. I don't think they think that is the important part of what they need to take from Breath of the Wild, which I was very impressed by that. But I don't think that the audience that Ubisoft speaks to is going to be like, what, I can't go run to the boss right away and just like mess around in this world? How dare you? They think that their audience wants much more structure, like much more guidance.
And honestly, Breath of the Wild is my favorite game of all time. And I agree. Like, I think, you know, there's a certain number of people that will play Breath of the Wild and be like, oh, I hate the weapon degradation. Oh, I hate how this open world is seemingly empty, right? And that's because like they don't necessarily populate it with icons right away, the way that you'll get from a Ubisoft game. The Gods and Monsters feels like a direct answer to those people that played Breath of the Wild and maybe wanted to like it, but didn't like it for the ways in which that game is Nintendo-ized. Yeah, those people are going to play Gods and Monsters are those who are going to play Gods and Monsters and enjoy it and really like it, because those things are not there.
Maybe if we just all keep calling it Gods and Monsters, they'll have to change the name back.
What I hope, Imran, give us another nugget. Why would they change this name? You got to have a thought there. Why would they change? It's got to be some lawsuit. What?
I would assume, yeah, it's a legal reason, because like when they explained it in the video, it's like when they played this game, Immortals, Phoenix Rising, like seemed like a much better name. It was like, that doesn't speak highly of the game.
Those words have never occurred naturally to anyone. No,
and, like, there's no colon in the title too. I think bothers me the most. It's like Immortals.
Whoa!
It's just
I'm putting a colon in there.
We're putting in there too. Like, that sounds like a subtitle, and I have decided that that is our style for this game.
I mean, playing the game and coming out of it, I probably would have leaned more toward calling it Gods and Monsters, because you know what's in the game? Gods and monsters. You know what I didn't get out of the game? Like, Phoenix is the main character, of course, but like at no point did Phoenix rise. At no point did I see somebody who was immortal. Like, I don't understand it.
And Phoenix is like one of those, like, you know, can be whoever player characters, right? It's like a Commander Shepard thing. So,
yeah,
like you can't market this character of that much. So it's weird to put their name in the title, because like everyone's going to have a different Phoenix. It's bizarre.
The naming situation is very weird. It is just a bad name, and there's no way around that.
It's too late to change it now. It's like calling
Breath of the Wild Link's personal journey. It's
like calling Mass Effect Shepard Space Adventure.
Yeah,
exactly. Really.
Wow. Which, don't sell me on something.
I know now that I'm like, I kind of like that. December 3rd, and it's coming out for you know, the consoles, you would imagine, PC, but also the Switch, which I think...
If you're going to be a Breath of the Wild clone, you got to get those people, right? You got to come out on Switch.
And I was going to say idea. Maybe they should like Starlinked in some like Link or Kid Icarus stuff, but maybe that's actually too far. Maybe that is just Breath of the Wild.
I was wondering too.
They put Link in the game.
Yeah, they could totally do that. And like Nintendo's like, wait a second, maybe not this time.
That'd be hilarious.
Maybe Kid Icarus, though. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
I would love to see whoever's face, right? Like Aonuma's face when they approach him and be like, hey, we got, you know how we did, you know, in Skyrim, we had the costume where they could play as Link or whatever in the game. And Aonuma was like, oh, yeah, I love that. They show him Immortals Phoenix Rising. They're like, oh, yeah, we want to do the same thing here. And he plays some of it and he's like, yo, what the fuck is this my game?
Is this just the Wild footage?
It's gonna slap.
What'd y'all do to Breath of the Wild?
Why'd you make the characters less charming?
Speaking of that, Prince of Persia at the Time remake. That game doesn't look great, right?
No.
I'm gonna play it. It looks bad.
I love the PS3.
If just the faces were improved, I think it would be fine. We'd get over it. The problem is, first off, when they presented it like, you know, one of those things where they really like made sure that we were looking at like, look at how this looks different and look at the motion capture. Like, you know, it's like they're parading it around in a way that they were proud of it in ways that they should not be. So it was a little awkward. And like, you know, you feel bad because like, of course, they have this sweet lady talking about how it's her dream to work on this game and stuff. And like, man, I don't want to dig on these people. And I don't think it's the developer's fault. I think Ubisoft is setting them up to fail here a bit by, you know, giving them whatever budget or whatever tools they had to remake this game and not setting out to do something on the scale of what we had with Tony Hawk or Crash Bandicoot. Yeah. Like if you're going to remake Prince of Persia, you kind of have to go all out for it. Otherwise, you may as well just do a really like nice port of it.
Like there's two Prince of Persia Blessing made the PS3 joke. Like there's two Prince of Persia titles on PS3 that look better than this game. So I do imagine it is just like, it either has to be ancient footage, like literally where they were not lying when they said it was alpha footage, or they just have no budget.
Yeah, and I wonder how much money they are willing to put into a Prince of Persia game, because it's kind of the
Splinter. It might not be much.
It's this, like the Splinter Cell problem, where like any money they spend on any of these other things is like money not going towards the things that they know do well, like Assassin's Creed or Rainbow Six stuff. So I wonder if they're just uncertain about how much money to actually spend.
Don't think ahead. I forgot. I have to yell at Jeff. Because when you like got like when you were hearing about this weeks ago, you were trying to be like, yeah, I don't know.
I wasn't wondering. Trying.
You're like, I think you said, I think they're remaking Warrior Within. They might be remaking the reboot. I was like, Jeff, why would they possibly do that? It's obviously going to be Sands of Time. You argued with me.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't. It's like, it's
you hard. Should have been sure.
You're right. I definitely should have agreed with you because you turned out to be right. But yeah. I was just like, I think based on some like art that was leaking at the time, I'm like, is this like actually related to the leak or whatever? And it looked like Warrior Within, and like maybe that one other Prince of Persia game that I think people do like, that's just called Prince of Persia.
That's where you're mistaken. People do not like the reboot.
I think people do like that.
I think there's a lot of people who do like the reboot, but like time has soured people over it because like,
okay,
there's a lot of reasons it's not great.
I feel like even at the time that reboot came and went. I mean, they unrebooted it.
It would be easier.
Back to the last thing.
It also
would
be have
easier to bring that forward than this stuff. So is the only thing. It's like easier to like make that like look better than what they're
is
doing.
Is it like Prince DMC, version. Devil May Cry? Is it one of those situations?
No, DMC was actually good though. People just were freaking out because of
it people just brain. Bad taste.
It had its own problems.
this would be like if Jeff heard that they were going to remake Devil May Cry and he assumed it was Devil May Cry 2. This is what you're doing.
Fair enough. You know what? You got me, and I'm glad you. I'm glad you remembered.
Take the L, Jeff.
Before we move on from Prince of Persia, did you see they're selling the original design as DLC?
No,
I didn't see that.
Maybe that's the goal. They're gonna make it look bad until you pay money. If I'll tell you what, if Square Enix offered that for their like new Final Fantasy VI ports on like PC, I'd pay $10 to make it look like the original. Fix it, please.
God. Riders Republic
and Monsters.
Riders Republic was their like one more thing, and Andrew Pfister, Skip Pfister, used to do the he used to produce the One Up Show, or used to produce One Up Yours actually. He said it's Sport Night, which is a joke that I can't get out of my head.
That's really
it's too good. Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah,
is there a pun we can make with Fall Guys, like. Fall Bikes?
Yeah, it's like Fall Bikes. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I did Bike Addle Royale, which isn't good at all, but people liked it. It's massively multiplayer extreme sports game is actually how Ubisoft described it. And it's like if
wasn't that
Steep? Yeah, it's like if Steep were edgy.
Oh, Steep.
Yeah, this is like this
a little too edgy.
This is them burying Steep, which is a good game. People need to accept it. It's a good game. They're burying Steep and they're bringing it back as a game where you can play with up to 50 people at once. And it's, wingsuit gliding and skiing and snowboarding and downhill bike riding and stuff like that. I don't know. It looks okay. It's hard to
I'm
tell
really
with these
it.
Games. You actually get your hand on it.
It's definitely hard to tell, but I'm really excited for it. As soon as they showed what was basically an analog to Graffiti from Tony Hawk,
Right.
That's when I was like, all right, this is gonna be a 10 out of 10 for me. I'm gonna enjoy this one.
I feel like whenever Ubisoft doesn't know what to do with a game, like they take an existing idea and then imagine the E3 trailer where you pulled out and you're actually like competing or racing alongside or doing whatever with like 50 other people.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do like one of those like we're having our tactical conversation about where we're going to go on this mountain and try to just pass it off as real dialogue, which is another thing they always do. I don't know. I'm into it too, but I want to get my hands on it before I get too excited. It's going to like this. I think it's the kind of game that lives or dies whether or not people pick it up. Did they announce a price or anything like that? Is it going to be free to play?
I don't think they said anything about that.
I assume it'd be full price.
Yeah, I would assume that
Steep was full price, right?
Could be an issue. Yeah. Totally.
And this is like, for all intents and purposes, this is Steep 2 for me.
Yeah. And if you're trying to fill up lobbies with 50 people and it's not a free-to-play game, I think that could be an issue down the line. But we'll see. Let's hit some of these other news stories. I meant to bring this up when we talked about Nintendo earlier, but No More Heroes 3 has been delayed into 2021. I think this is just kind of telling us, like, hey, what has been announced now for Nintendo is pretty much what's happening for the rest of the year.
I don't think that's true. I think Bravely Default is also probably getting a delay at some point.
Right.
Oh, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, it feels at all. Yeah, I mean, they don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, the Bravely Default community, at least from what I saw, didn't even respond well to that demo that came out. So that was a game that took more time.
They were very shocked by the response to that demo. They were like shocked by the negativity it got.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah, there's definitely got to be some time there.
We have three more stories that are kind of beefy, so let's get to them. 505 Games accidentally upgraded Control Digital Deluxe owners to Control Ultimate Edition and then revokes it. So I tried to find out exactly what happened here. It seemed like definitely PS4 Digital Deluxe owners got upgraded to the Ultimate Edition. And this is important for people that don't remember because 505 said this was impossible, or at least there was blockers in the way that would prevent it from happening. And that's people complained about that because the Ultimate Edition is what's getting upgraded for the PS5 and Xbox Series X, and people that already own the game and already own all the content and would have no reason to get the Ultimate Edition aren't going to get those upgrades. But people woke up last night, I think, and it was just there. They owned Control Ultimate Edition, at least on the PS4. Do you even know if it happened on PC or Xbox?
I only saw PS4.
Okay, so maybe the PS4 one always worked and there was issues somewhere else. But boy, this still just feels like kind of a kick in the teeth. It looks bad for 505 no matter what, right?
Is 505 a bad publisher? Because like, there's a lot of stories coming out about them. Like, just every couple of days I hear, or a couple of months I hear like, yeah, this 505 game has some issues. Like, what was the most recent thing before? It was Indivisible on Switch, right? Where they like uploaded the wrong build. It didn't tell the developers.
Like, developers kind of just buried them on Twitter a little, huh?
Like Bloodstained released kind of unfinished.
I think they might be a bad publisher. I think you're right. I think they might have like bad business practices, but they also might just be bad at this. It's the evidence there. This is just a real bad look.
Yeah, it's not great. I think they're lucky that it's happening between two like console reveal things, right? It's like, I think people are going to forget about this relatively soon, but it might come back. Who knows?
It's not like the Cooking Mama situation where Cooking Mama Cook Star came out and it didn't come out, and there was nothing else going on during that time, and so we were all just like, all right, let's focus on this.
What's going on with Cooking Mama?
We got to talk about something, and so we're talking about Cooking Mama. This is very much like happening within a busy time, and so like this would have came up on our show today, but it like we were just running late. And like there was other news to talk about, but yeah, this is one of those ones where I've been trying to defend 505 on this because like I think it's I don't necessarily think that we're if I have the base version of Control, I'm necessarily entitled for an upgrade to the Ultimate Edition on next gen, like especially if it's backwards compatible. Like that's all I'm kind of asking for is backwards compatibility. But the more and more they talk about it, the more and more I'm like, just shut up, because the comments y'all are putting out are not good comments. Like, you guys are not explaining this in a way that makes sense. Like, they're Ubisofting it for all intents and purposes, where it's like, we know what's going on here. We understand how technology works. Don't lie to our faces and tell us that, like, you can't do it because it's impossible. Because other companies are doing it. Other companies have this figured out. I'm sure if there was a way that you could detect people having DLC or whatever, like, you could probably do that. I'm sure if you wanted to put out the control based version on next gen, and that can take that, and that would take advantage of ray tracing or whatever, I'm sure you could do that. But the comments you guys are putting out in correlation to it are just not good. Like, not they're not up to standard. And if that's the case, just don't talk.
To some extent, I kind of wonder if they're like, are they trying to sync Remedy with them? Is that, because I don't think Remedy and 505 honestly parted on good terms, because they left that Epic deal immediately. So I don't know if like they don't like each other, and 505 is like, well, we're going to get the money and go. If that's our only like long-term plan here.
You know, 505 might be bad, but it makes me want to like bring up like an equivalent good publisher, because like there's evidence that you can do this. Like Focus Home Entertainment has been having a great year, and like they're like releasing early access games, and they released SnowRunner, which is just excellent, and the hard space Shipbreaker, which I can never remember how to say. You know, they've been delivering constant updates and ensuring that like the communication is really good between the developer and the community. So this stuff is possible. It's not like, oh, that part of the business is just so complicated and not worth, like the juice isn't worth the squeeze or whatever, so this is the kind of the only kind of publisher we can expect to have. It's not like we've seen good
look at what CD Projekt Red is doing with The Witcher 3
on their own.
Like that game is from 2015, and that is getting a free next gen upgrade for a PS5 and Xbox Series X. Like, it's all possible. And I think there's the argument for 505 and Remedy that, of course, Control probably didn't sell as much as The Witcher 3, obviously, but and maybe that makes it so that, hey, it might not be worth it to put out Control base version as opposed to just the Ultimate Edition, and that then leads down this domino effect that only allows for Ultimate Edition owners to upgrade. But like, again, if that's the case, say less. Like, don't talk and come out and put out statements that are obviously flawed and are just going to bring you bad press. Like, do your thing, take the hits, and just move on with it.
Yeah, they just quietly said, hey, here's Control PS4, Xbox Series X, like, or PS5. Like, that, I think people would be like, other people aren't doing it this way, but some people are, so this is not that weird. It's just a completely roundabout, unforced error they took to make this a unique fuck-up is baffling.
Agreed. It's Friday, so Apple put out some weird news about how it's going to... It changed its terms of service for the App Store to permit game streaming services like xCloud and Stadia and GeForce Now and a bunch of others. It comes with some caveats, though. Basically, here's how it goes. You can put one of your apps onto the App Store if you submit every game for review by Apple, which by itself is already kind of a wild thing these companies probably don't want to do. But it goes further than that. Those games have to show up individually inside of the App Store. And then if you were to offer like a catalog app where like, oh, you own games on another platform and you want to play them over the cloud on iOS, well, those games still have to be in the App Store. And that is actually the version that gets launched. So you go into like the Xbox Game Pass app, you launch a game there, it links over to the App Store, you download that, but really you're just downloading a client to play that from the cloud. And then if you were to, say, make an in-app purchase in a game there, that would almost certainly happen within the App Store, the confines of the App Store. Even when Apple doesn't get the original purchase, like where you purchased it, not necessarily, sometimes it would, I guess, or at least it would get 30% of any subscription service that you made through your iOS account. But even not in those situations, it would take 30% of any microtransaction made in a game while playing on iPhone. And boy, that is wild, I think.
That sounds like a non-starter for a little.
It's no, of course. Right? Microsoft responded a little bit ago saying this is not what gamers want. We're putting gamers first and all that stuff. But basically they said no.
Like, the question I have is like, did Apple think this is a compromise? Or are they literally, is it just them going like, no, we're stomping our foot and we're doing this, so you guys have to deal with our weird eccentricities, or not at all?
It seems like they think that they could put this out and maybe, oh, this puts the pressure back on Microsoft. Just agree to Apple's rules and then people will stop being mad at us. And it's like, you are a crazy person shouting on the street is what you seem like, Apple. This is madness.
This feels like more of a compromise for Stadia than for xCloud, because like, I feel like this works a little bit more for how that ecosystem works. But either way, like, it's still not ideal, and it's still very much like a one step forward, five steps back kind of thing of, yeah, nobody wants to do this. Like at that point, like how if I was in Microsoft's shoes, like how would I even make this work? Right, where I put every single one of my apps available on the App Store. Like why would I want to do that? What does that process now look for publishers of these games? Right, if I have Witcher 3 on Game Pass, right, and have that have availability on xCloud, do I then go to CD Projekt Red and be like, hey, y'all gotta also go through certification with Apple along with us, or like we're gonna shepherd that for you? What I don't know, it feels like there's so much behind that, and this complicates things so much that I understand why Microsoft immediately is like, we're not gonna do that.
Also, Apple cert sucks. Like, it just sucks that sometimes they will turn your app down for no reason or a very arbitrary reason. I'm gonna be very careful with my wording to indicate all due respect here, and this is just a turn of phrase, but it kind of feels like Apple is haunted by the ghost of Steve Jobs and the way he disliked gaming, because it does not seem like they have not gotten someone in their company that's higher up be like, no, we make a ton of money from games. Let's play a little ball so we can make more money. I don't know why they're still going like, no, games aren't a big deal to us.
And you can't even come to this conclusion that they're at, where like Apple's ostensible reasoning is that we need to see what is in all these games because there are people going to be playing them on our device, and we need to protect our audience from video games. And they don't do that with books. They don't do that with movies. They don't do that with music albums that they sell themselves and that you can access through any number of apps on their platform. They don't do that. They treat those things as art products that people can purchase and engage with as adults, and they do not do that with games. And so the contempt that they've always had for games, that was very like, it's not like it was a secret that like Steve Jobs had a sort of disgust for games, but it is weird how it has, you're right, Imran, that how it has continued over from him dying, and now new people are in charge, and I think they think they need to continue that sort of relationship with games, maybe because it worked for them, they think, or maybe because service money is so important to their future. But mostly it just feels like they think they can do this to games because games is still this small little sideshow of software. Real software is about productivity and creation and all this other stuff, and software that's just about play is, that's kid stuff, and we can kind of kick them around all we want, even though they make so much money from it. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like it is a cultural divide, and they're like the one on one side and everyone else is on the other. And they're still over there, like believing this sort of stuff about games in a really odd way that just,
it's so strange and arbitrary. Like, to even extrapolate that more, like I can get Amazon on my phone and buy whatever on that, right? Like through Apple. Like through my device, you know, I could get probably like a Hitman Agent 47 kill kit if I wanted to on Amazon. And like, what that compared to playing The Witcher 3 through video game streaming on my phone doesn't seem like a big deal. And it's very transparent as far as where they kind of lay on these things, right? Like, they don't want competition. They don't want something that competes with the App Store in terms of, you know, playing games, even though I wouldn't say those things are in direct competition by any means. Like, I don't think people having xCloud on their phone is going to mean that somebody doesn't buy Candy Crush or whatever, like whatever mobile game, right? Florence, for example, or the range is there. It's weird.
Yeah, and I guess the last point on this is just like, Apple's doing this because they can, because they are this unique monopoly of controlling the hardware and software stack for a very popular platform. And they must just think that they are not going to have to deal with the consequences of that. They must think they're going to win these lawsuits. They must think that this is not all of the talk right now about breaking up tech monopolies. It's just not going to come to them. I think they might be confident for a reason. They might not know something. They might know something we don't about the way that these cases are going to go, or, you know, who's deciding these things. It feels that way sometimes. And it's like, that's like almost an existential sort of bummer where, you know, we sort of get a say in how our world is run to a certain point. And then you run up against a $2 trillion company and they're like, actually, no, it's going to work this way. And we get to decide that because we're a $2 trillion company.
Yeah.
And that's,
but Microsoft thought that way too. And then in 2000, yep, they suffered for it. Like, we came very close, like, not to get overly political here, but we came very close to people, the Democratic platform having things about breaking up large companies in it. So they didn't
have closer this year than we have in a long time. Like, yes, it was like closer to a reality than a long time. Absolutely.
It didn't happen this year. It could happen next time, and they can't count on that.
Yep. All right, last story. This is a Jeff Grubb banger right here. GameStop is considering payment plans for next gen consoles and more. Some folks reached out to me. You know, they had some documents from GameStop that's basically just detailed the U.S. for U.S. GameStop bringing in third party platforms to do things like installment plans, basically, and they're trying to time this with the next gen consoles. The two platforms that they're working with for sure are Klarna and QuadPay, and I believe Klarna is pretty popular, and people use it to like pay off furniture. And basically, it works as like the name QuadPay suggests. You get something, I think you have to put like one payment up front, and then you have 6 weeks to make three other payments, so it's like a total of four payments. And the idea is most people in America get paid every 2 weeks, so this should time out pretty well. And it's interest free for the customer, for the consumer, because I believe that Klarna and QuadPay, they likely make money from missed payments, but they also, I think, take a small commission from each sale. So it works out for everyone. The other one was Rent to Own, which is, I did not know what platform they're using for that. And that one's kind of scary because I think you have like 12 months and you just kind of pay it off over time. But if you miss a payment, or some other factor, you have to just turn it in, or maybe it stops working because maybe there's ways for them to do that.
Frank from GTA shows up, repossesses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was thinking about it, what a GameStop collection agent would look like. Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
It's Greg Miller.
It's just Greg Miller. Oh my God.
One other thing about this is I had the story and I reached out to GameStop to give them a chance to comment, and they were like, oh, well, hey, this stuff's still coming together. Do you want, like, we'll announce it with you. We'll talk to you about it and, you know, maybe talk to an executive. And I'm like, oh, I have my How Games Make Money podcast. That would be great to talk to someone about this upcoming holiday and these things, but also other things happening with GameStop. Yeah, let's do that. And then, of course, during the earnings call, they talked about these things there. So I posted my story and it still did really well. So whatever, it all worked out in the end. And maybe I'll still have someone from GameStop on eventually. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like you're a mortal enemy of theirs now.
I know. They seemed okay with it because, you know,
someone from GameStop. Yes. I don't know what GameStop is doing these days. And I feel like they are one or two bad breaks away from like going back into acquisition talks.
Yeah, so this feels like some desperate moves, right? Like this feels like they're at least trying to figure out any way they can to ensure that they are getting some of this next gen money. If Sony like Microsoft is working with them, and Microsoft's going to offer like the all access plan through GameStop or whatever, we haven't heard exactly that Sony is definitely working with GameStop. And if their goal really is to sell more digital editions than the disc version, maybe GameStop's not their best partner for that. And if they get cut out in any way or any significant way, they could be in a really bad situation faster than anyone thinks. So
I mean, Sony's been not specifically trying to cut out GameStop, but they've been trying to cut out places like GameStop with, right. A year or two ago, they changed the card thing. So you can't buy individual game cards anymore.
You used to be able to go into GameStop. And I remember talking to a GameStop executive a few years ago, and they're like, actually selling like digital versions of that stuff is a pretty good business for us. And we do pretty well selling those things because people want to own stuff digitally, but they also want to go buy it with cash. And then Sony's too bad. Like we're only going to give you gift cards, and we're not going to actually enable you to buy the game cards anymore. And so, yeah, you're right. That kind of cut out GameStop a little bit. I don't think that there's necessarily like a lot of emphasis at Sony to collaborate with the company that was selling the most consoles at the beginning of the last generation. I think they don't think they need to partner with them this time. It doesn't mean that we won't be able to get a PlayStation 5 at GameStop, but might be hard.
Next gen would have been a very good time for GameStop to launch that new initiative they had of like the gaming rooms and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, COVID killed those plans dead because there's just you can't at this point gather a bunch of people into one room and say play video games. But had that gone through, it would have been a decent turn for GameStop and a good way for them to manage this new generation. Like, hey, you don't know if you want to commit to this digital game because digital rights managements are still a mess. Then play it here and figure it out. I think GameStop is increasingly finding themselves back into a corner. I don't know that this is going to be the thing that reverses that for them.
Yeah. No, this just feels like this ensures that they will probably get a few more sales of next-gen consoles than they would have, but it's not going to move the needle, really. Not really. All right. That does it for the news. Let me go ahead and pick up some of these questions, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Wait. I didn't get to. I wasn't really here for this Xbox talk. I didn't get to yell at you about your future compatibility bullshit.
You're right. Let's do. Yeah, yell at me while I get some questions up. Come on, let me have.
Well, I mean, that was your thing for a year. It was future compatibility and how Microsoft doesn't care if you just hold on to your Xbox One and all. Yeah. No, you're like, yeah, it's fine because all these games are going to work on that. And I feel like the message with the Series S is the exact opposite, that they want everybody to move on to the next generation.
I definitely
they can.
I think they changed that message at some point because, like, you watched that Xbox first party reveal and it was, okay, this game, Halo, is coming to both systems. Then everything else was like, wait, this is only Series X. So they, like, I know they had really weird wording, loose wording at the first point, like, oh yeah, the first year or two it's going to be shared titles. But then it turned out the first year or two was only Halo anyway.
I don't think that Jeff was wrong. I think that Microsoft was thinking that. I'm making fun of Jeff one because I think he bought into it a lot, and I always thought it was silly. And now Microsoft has come around to my thinking on it.
I will say that my thinking has also evolved.
So you're not wrong. You've just evolved.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not Pokemon, Jeff.
That's a great way to put it.
So I think that the point there was always, the most important part was, they don't care if you don't upgrade right away, if you are subscribed to Game Pass right now. If you are subscribed to Game Pass, they don't care what you do. But they, if you are someone who's like, I'm subscribed to Game Pass and don't feel like upgrading right away, and then all of a sudden they put out an Xbox Series X and an Xbox Series S, and that those start getting exclusive games that don't work on the console that you have, you just cancel Game Pass. And they don't want that. They don't want those people that are in the middle to cancel Game Pass. And that's what this is all about. It's making sure that people who are on Xbox One, who have a subscription to Game Pass there, don't feel like they're paying for something that they can't fully use. So that's,
yeah, can you just tell me I was right and we'll move on?
And you were right, and I apologize. And
well, yeah. Thank you. I accept your apology humbly.
All right, let's see here. So questions. We got a few. I'll try to see if I can. Here's one real quick from me. Mass Effect remaster update. stay tuned. I'm working on.
You keep getting bugged about this.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like I said last time, I want to kind of like give them some time because they haven't ever officially acknowledged this thing. So at this point, to kind of just keep harping on it, it feels like I don't want to be the person putting pressure on them. So let's give them a little bit more time, and then
You compare EA's holiday slate to Ubisoft's, they got to have something else, right? Like, it's insane.
Well, this is the game I was thinking they were going to have this holiday, but let's wait and see.
I don't understand why they're not showing up to next gen the way Ubisoft is. Maybe it's because it's EA and they got the money and they got the yearly installments and all that stuff.
How do they show up though? They always show up with like their Madden and FIFA and they don't do much. True. And
Ubisoft shows up to any party, man. Ubisoft showed up for Wii U. Yeah.
But I feel like EA especially, you figure they would have gone hard on Star Wars games, especially as like the generation winds to a close and maybe the start of next generation. But yeah, it's Squadrons and it was Force Jedi Fallen.
No.
Jedi Fallen Order last year.
Yeah, I forgot the name.
And like that's kind of been it. And I figured it's just been nothing since then. Which
Immortals Jedi Rising.
That time is coming up soon. Like the time for renewal. You'd think they'd want to have something big to show Disney.
Yeah, I mean, next year, maybe next year's too soon. I'm trying to think of like when we could expect Jedi Fallen Order 2. Nah, I guess it's probably like 2 years from now, right?
It could maybe be announced next year, but again, these days, like, yeah, these don't happen as quickly. But I mean, it certainly is coming. But yeah, I think
maybe next year's like, Battlefront.
I hope they make a Battlefront 3. I don't know, but yeah, let's not. We can't move on.
Yeah, Battlefront is coming.
Good.
It's still a bit off.
I guess next year is Battlefield because they've
Battlefield. That, right? That's what I meant. Battlefield 6. Yeah.
Nah, I don't want Battlefield. I want Battlefront.
No, Battlefront. I don't know about the Battlefront.
I think Battlefront.
I want the pew pew, not the
bang bang.
Yeah.
Not shot. I don't. The bang bang. Thank you.
I don't want to reload. I want to like cool off my gun.
I want to cool down.
After this week, do you think Xbox have emptied the tank, or do they still have more major announcements up their sleeve between now and November? That's from Ollie on Twitter. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you guys see the rumors floating around about the Xbox Series V?
Yeah, that's not real.
Somebody tagged me on that, and I almost blocked them. Same. I was like, all right.
What would the V stand for?
What does the S or X stand for? They don't stand for anything.
Small or extra large.
Xbox X.
Yeah, that thing's not real because the SNX makes sense at this point if you're Microsoft. I know it doesn't make sense to any of us, but to them, they're like, we've put a lot of time into getting people used to the terms S and X. People know what they mean. And
tech companies like those letters. I don't, for whatever
reason. Yeah, and but you know, it's kind of hard to like change it up now. I think they think this. It's hard to change it up now because they put so much effort and really it's money into getting into educating the audience into what these things mean. Introduce another SKU like that, especially anytime soon. That really does confuse things. That really does. It's not like you want to sell this hardware for less than $500. The Xbox Series X is really expensive to make. They're losing money at $500. So the idea of like even a digital version selling it less than that right now is just that's not going to happen. Maybe they were considering it, but it's not. That's not a real concern. I guess. Do we think they have anything else though? Any other announcements?
No,
not for them. Not at this point.
Yeah, not for the rest of the year. I don't feel like.
I mean, they gotta say, yeah, they gotta do a little something like the month after the console launches, right, to make people feel good about getting it. But I have no idea what it would be.
I've been predicting this since January, and I'm not right yet, and I don't think I'll be right by December. But I think they're gonna acquire Don't Nod at some point. Like, I think that's just a natural next step for their relationship. But like, there's not really a place to announce that. I guess they could just announce it on a blog or whatever. EXO is not happening this year because it's COVID and everything. But even still, like, it doesn't seem like they have one planned digitally. And so, you know, who knows?
I mean. Maybe they could do like a Gears 1 remake, and that could be something.
They did that.
Relatively easy. They remade Gears 1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, Gears Remastered.
Mike, apologize to me.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I apologize for being a stupid idiot.
Let me ask you guys this real quick, because this is I have heard that Microsoft is spending a lot of money on something that isn't an acquisition, and that's basically what I've heard.
It's not an acquisition? Quintuple AAA game?
TV channel.
Not an acquisition, and it's like it seemed like it would like, and the way it was phrased to me, it would be a big deal. And I've been trying to figure it out, or even guess it, I guess is how I would put it. Do you guys have any thoughts?
What could that be? Portable system? Is it like their Switch thing?
No,
I don't know.
Depends on what you count as not an acquisition. Because I've heard
not an acquisition. Yeah, because they could still like bring a big game to Game Pass or something like that. It's like that's what comes to my mind, but I don't know.
I've also heard that it was less a big game and more like, hey, we already have your big game. What if we got every big expansion on it there too?
Right. Yeah. And it's like that's the kind of thing that would like fit with their model of like, we're not trying to keep things off the other platform. We're just trying to make this the best place to play and you know, for a subscription fee. So yeah, something like that makes sense. I don't know.
Give me an idea. What game
could I heard this Destiny is the point.
Like that they were trying to get
Destiny 2.
No, I heard Destiny 2
big enough. Is that big enough really anymore?
Something like 74 million players or something like that, right? Like, that was the number.
In total, in lifetime.
Phil Spencer loved
it. Yeah, registered.
Like, and they love Bungie, and they would love to get back together with Bungie in some way.
Right, yeah, right. And, like, anything they could say of, like, hey, we're, like, making up with Bungie, or, like, Bungie's joining the team in any way. Like, not necessarily acquiring Bungie, but, like, forming a strong partnership with them, they would love to be able to say
that. I have heard they've had those talks, but, like, the price is very high.
Yeah, and I think I've heard that they've fallen through repeatedly, and like right now the price is too high, and those talks have stalled, is what I've heard. So if you're going to write a new story based on this, that's write that part first.
What's the word on Cyberpunk though? Like, is there any chance of Cyberpunk ending up on Game Pass?
So I mean, I think maybe it ends up there, but you know, they were very clear to me last time, like when I was pitching this. This was just like an example too, but they reached out to me like, nope, we're not on Game Pass. Like they reached out to me.
Well, they have to let people know it's not going to like.
Right.
If they don't, then people are not going to buy it. And that's, I think, going to be an increasing problem for Microsoft, is everyone saying, hey, no, we're not going to be on Game Pass. Please buy our game at launch. And then 4 or 5 months later or whenever it comes out on Game Pass, because that's very easily an end of life boost to those game sales.
Right.
But
yeah. Or, you know, like if, you know, Cyberpunk comes out this holiday, by next holiday, if it's on Game Pass, and that's a really good reason to upgrade. Like, so yeah, you could see all the ways it could work, but you're right. It could prove to be a problem. All right. We got some, do you guys have any idea what Retro has been up to since 2014? They are helping with the new Metroid Prime, right?
They took over Metroid Prime. Yeah, they're making it now. They weren't originally, but now they're making it. I mean, you know, it's almost depressing when you look at their like hiring page, because they're like, I think like this month they were like hiring something like a producer or something for Metroid Prime 4.
Which I don't think it's going slow. I think it means that like that a producer left or whatever.
Right. Not that it's slow, but like still just like that is far out, I think. Yeah. That's not a 2021 game.
We answered some stuff about PlayStation 5 already. An accusatory one. I like these. Jeff Grubb, you think the Series S won't hold back future games when it can't even run Xbox One X enhanced versions of games? I don't think that's exactly how what Microsoft was saying. They're positioning this as a 1080p, 1440p console. And if you want 4K, why aren't you buying the 4K system? I think that's what they're trying to say. Yeah. And so putting the Xbox One X enhanced versions on there, and it's still going to have other enhancements, they said, specific to the next generation. So let's wait and see how those actually play out before we make any like judgments. But yeah,
hardware is not a linear bar that fills up. Like,
right.
There are ways in which Xbox Series S clowns on the Xbox One X, and
absolutely,
there are ways that it doesn't. And this is just one of the ways that it doesn't. And that doesn't mean it's going to like suffer when playing Halo or I don't know, Suicide Squad, but it does mean that there are certain things the Xbox One X did specifically that this cannot do.
Yeah, and it's the idea of it holding it back. I know this like keeps coming back up over and over, but we have evidence of how this stuff works. You can look to PC. I think maybe in very very specific circumstances of maybe the still very fast SSD on the S, maybe in some circumstances that will hold it back. I don't really believe that. People want to make a super fast loading world for some reason. I think they're going to be able to do it just fine. And if they have to optimize or figure some stuff out on the S, they will. But in terms of graphics, if we're talking about graphics fidelity, moving a game down from 4K to 1080p is enough in most circumstances. We know this from PC. We know that I have a 2080 Ti in this computer, and I try to run most games on ultra settings at 4K, and it struggles to hit 60. And then I have over on the shelf, I have an RX 580 from like 3 or 4 years ago that was only ever meant to do 1080 60. And I play the same game on the same settings, but at 1080, and it's getting 80 frames per second. Resolution is such a resource hog. It's by far the biggest deal. The idea of having a system that is 4K and one that is 1080p, 1440p, I know they say that, but really it's 1080p. It's a smart move, and it's not going to hold things back. It's just not.
The processor is a much bigger deal, and the processor in the Series S like dances circles around the Xbox One X.
And we should all be so thankful that we are getting these awesome processors in this next generation, because that is where all the benefits are going to be coming from, all these things that were held back by ancient Jaguar CPUs. Better physics, better world, simulation. It's going to be very good. Hello, do you happen to Dead Island 2? I don't know what that means, and I guess what happened to it? Yes, I am Dead Island 2. You found me out.
It's the THQ Nordic Red Hand, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, whatever.
What year, if ever, do you think that game comes out?
I forgot that it never came out. I just completely erased
it. Yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I feel like 2022 or never.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Like, that either they're working on it right now, or no one's working on it. It's just going to get quietly canceled.
Yeah.
I think we see 2023.
Does Mike regret not using Grubhub for his Chipotle now?
Man, I ain't paying that delivery fee. I look like I'm made out of money,
dude. You gotta get the. Is there a premium version of Grubhub? I actually don't know. I use
there is, actually. There's a
I use the Postmates one.
I see they gave away like a month of that for free, or like whatever it was when the pandemic started. So I was using Grubhub for the first time ever. And I forgot about the fee until like my free month ran out. And I was like, why is this so expensive?
That's what I did with Postmates. And I've been using Postmates up until the move. I moved here, and then I went to order something on Postmates. And even though I only moved down the street from where I was, Postmates was like, oh no, we don't deliver to where you're at now. And I was like, wait, what? And I had membership. Like, I've been using Postmates faithfully. Wow. Over the last however
long. They gotta draw the line somewhere.
Just order to your old place and go.
And apparently there's a specific street where they drew the line that I just was not aware of. That's like somewhere that way. But now I use DoorDash for it with DoorPass. And I don't have to worry about that delivery fee.
This is what video game talk will be. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm subscribed to this thing, but in this thing, but I'm not subscribed to this one. So like, thank God EA Play is now on Game Pass, so I don't have to think about EA Play ever again.
That's why I could never do a payment plan for a console. I'm feeling worse about all the subscriptions I have than I do about just paying upfront for something in bulk.
Yep. Speaking of subscriptions, here's a couple of questions about this topic. I'll read this one. Do you still think Xbox Live Gold is going away before the next generation starts, or would it come later? Someone asked, also added to that, if Gold does go free, what would be the difference between Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate? And I think we're seeing Microsoft trying to build up a replacement of if they do get rid of Game Pass or if they do get rid of Xbox Live Gold. I know the arguments are Xbox Live Gold is such a big moneymaker. Why would they give up that money? There's some math there where it's just they make a ton of money from, first of all, from free to play games that obviously shouldn't be gated in the first place. But even if you include like Call of Duty, they make a lot of money from selling microtransactions now, and anything they can do and like stuff like NBA 2K and anything they can do to encourage people to come to their platform to make those microtransactions there is going to be a good thing. It's going to only help them in the end, I think, in the long run, especially as more people turn to just playing one game for a very long time or one game all year, and all the money that they spend is going into those games. If you give any reason for someone to be like, well, I could get that $300 Xbox, but I have to pay for Xbox Live Gold, I'm just going to get the PS5 because, you know, I know that online is free there, or, you know, for this free to play game anyhow. But I expected this to happen with Halo, and now the Halo's been delayed. I don't know. It's hard to say. I know that
discussions have been happening at Microsoft. Yeah. And like it's been basically that argument. It's like, yeah, this and this, but also it makes so much money. And I think one of the things that's probably, if it, that wall does break down, it's going to break down because of xCloud. And the fact that you can play these games on PC, not by xCloud, but just in general, or on your phone. And if you download the Halo multiplayer, which is a separate thing, you don't have to pay it unless you're the most loyal Xbox customer who bought their console. So like, it's ridiculous. At some point, people are going to be like, this is weird. Why are we having to pay more while everyone else doesn't have to? And I think that's going to be the argument that they're going to make is like, plus it's just an extra, it's a tool in their scabbard they can pull out against Sony at some point. And I think when things start heating up, they're going to
break glass. Actually, yeah. I agree with that. I think that, the plan couldn't have been to charge for Halo multiplayer. It just, if they were going to make that free, and they said it like blatantly, like, oh, it's free to play multiplayer. And there was no asterisk. There was no like, oh, if you have Xbox Live Gold, when they said it, to me, that would like made it very clear because lawyers don't let you go out there and say that kind of stuff without the asterisks, especially at a major corporation like Microsoft. But I do think they're like, they are probably worried to make sure that, Game Pass Ultimate is in a position where even if they got rid of Xbox Live Gold, people would be like, this is still worth $15. Adding EA Play is definitely a part of that. I'm sure they probably have some other ideas in mind that I don't know about, but we'll see. I definitely still think it's going away for free to play games, but going away entirely, I still think also probably we'll see. All right. Let's do one or two more questions, then we'll get out of here. Just wanted to ask, out of all the companies in the industry, which one is struggling the most to keep games effectively during the COVID-19 outbreak and lockdowns?
Developing them or keep releasing them?
It doesn't necessarily...
Effectively say. What?
Yeah, it doesn't... I guess, because he doesn't say, so what do we think he means? Like, effectively...
I think he means developing.
Yeah, go ahead then, Mike. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Nintendo was the one we've been going to for a bit, even though I think we feel better about Nintendo now than we did a couple weeks ago, right?
No, when the lockdown started, they were lost. They had no idea how to navigate it, but they seem to be in a decent place now.
This is the last one, and you know what, Imran, you're here, so we can actually just ask you this. Do you have any idea what Star Fox Racing actually was? I'm curious because some people thought it was leaker bait a few years ago.
Okay, so I have never personally seen this game. I will stress that. I have talked to people who have said, yeah, somebody from Retro showed me a video of this game on their phone. I don't know what that actually was. There's been a theory that maybe they were confused by Starlink or something. I don't know why somebody from Retro would show that, but sure. But like, that is what I was told, and I haven't been given a reason to think, because I would trust this person. Like, this is a person who may be confused, but they wouldn't lie about it.
Right.
I know Retro had to have been working on something since Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze until Metroid Prime 4. Was it this? I don't know for sure. Again, no firsthand knowledge. Retro is surprisingly one of the tightest ships you would find in terms of like leaks. But that is what I heard. That is what someone told me before any of this stuff broke out over the internet, like maybe months before.
It's certainly easy to believe that Retro went from Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze to a Star Fox Racing game, and then when Metroid Prime 4 was in trouble, Nintendo was like, forget about that. you're coming on to Metroid. We're leaving that behind.
They should just tell us what happened. They should just tell us. They should just be a little more open about these things sometimes. I guess they want to hang on to these things in case they do want
to
make a game.
I can't even pretend to be upset. I think it's insulting to give us a Star Fox racing game when we haven't had an F-Zero in forever.
Fair enough.
Drives me crazy.
All right. That's going to do it for us. I think let's go ahead and have everybody say where we can find you on the internet. But for, you know, Blessing, Imran, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for filling in for just the lackluster Mike Minotti. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, you know what I say about Michaels? Great name.
You do say that. Bless, where can we find you?
I'm on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I host Kind of Funny Games daily, many days out the week, and I also co-host PS Love You XOXO with Greg Miller once a week. That's live on Tuesdays, and that's all available on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can also follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. That's at Blessing JR.
How about you, Imran?
You can find me the same place Blessing said, on Tuesdays for Games Daily and Wednesdays for Gamescast. I am also on Twitter at Imran, ZOMG, and you can just find my bylines on the various different sites.
Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell people the same thing?
You can find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, T-O-L-K-O-T-O, and check out my 90s Disney podcast, 90s Disney. You can hear about Rocket Rods, one of the least successful Disney rides ever, on our latest episode.
I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter and also on Twitch. And then you can get me on YouTube, youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. We do this show live there each week. You go to youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb/live. I think that link continues to work. YouTube is weird about that stuff.
Hit the Patreon, Jeff. Give the people what they want.
Yes. And then my other show, How Games Make Money. We still have a Patreon there. Just trying to get some support. It's been going well. It's been nice.
He has two kids, people.
I have two kids. I do. We don't order very much Postmates because we can't afford it.
Can't go to Chipotle because who knows if you can leave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to
be stuck there Chipotle like trap. Me.
My dad went out for Chipotle and never came back.
That's right. It happens all the time, people.
Yeah, I know. It's just the story as old as time.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. We'll be back with another new episode next week. Until then, take care of yourself and goodbye.
Bye.